Good morning. This is Lydia Aranda. I am your host of Rainmakers every Monday morning here on The Morning Voice on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Matt Neely, can you believe it? We are already at the final Monday of September.
Is this incredible or what? It just flies by.
It really, really does. And, you know, the weather, I agree with you. What a gorgeous, crisp morning it has been.
All weekend, I mean.
Yes, lovely. And I have to say,
windows are open. I'm like, what is this?
Fresh air. But I was not here this weekend, and I'm excited to talk a little bit as we have our show today. I was back in Little Rock, Arkansas for a summit, which gathered about 85 leaders from around the country to discuss a lot of things going on in communities all over the country, a little bit about economy, a little bit about political implications and decisions that are happening about policy, about economy, about wellness, all kinds of different things. But during the time we were in Little Rock, we got to the absolute wonderful opportunity to tour many historic sites, and one of those being a tour of the famed Central High School, and actually meeting directly one-on-one with one of the famous Little Rock Nine. So for our listeners who may not be that familiar about it, taking them back to September 1957, when desegregation was big, Brown versus the Board of Education, and Central High School being integrated. So a lot was happening over the weekend that brought old images to mind, brought a lot of dialogue and conversation about the implications and reconciliation and contributions from all kinds of folks and what that means in today's world. So,
and what year, I'm sorry, I think you said it, but
Back in September 1957.
57, okay.
So it's been a bit. And yeah. Then also, because it was Little Rock, one of the opportunities and evening receptions was held at the Clinton Library. And so that was a nice backdrop, you know.
Yeah.
So anytime being able to go to a presidential library kind of triggers the memory of things that were happening in that era. So thinking back to the 90s, was quite interesting.
Sure.
And again, thinking about world leadership, about economy, about wellness.
I feel your pain, lady.
There was a lot that we had lots of discussions. And we had some Arizonans there, our own Jaime Molera, who has
been
on The Morning Voice often. He was one of the speakers and spoke a little bit about some of the things happening with policy. And,
yeah.
And we had speakers from all over. So it was really great.
I've got a cousin that's making it his personal mission to visit all the presidential libraries. He's almost got baseball stadiums nailed. So he's cousin on my wife's side. Anyway, blah blah blah. Anyway, but he's also taking it upon himself
to
hit as many. And I think he's going to get all of them. I know him well enough to know that if he set his mind to it, it's going to happen. So,
well, you know, it's interesting.
And there's a whole bunch of them in the Midwest.
A lot of people do that. Yeah. They make that their thing. And I guess there's a passport type of tracking that I'm sure your cousin has because several people were speaking about it. I didn't know about that. I've only visited two. So this was my second one. My first one was the Bush Library, Bush W in Dallas.
Okay.
Because all the years I lived in Dallas, that was the new library there, and many, many of events were held there, and I had a few opportunities to be there. So so I'm kind of on my own little personal mission now. I'm curious to go to all the rest.
So when you were talking and you got to meet one of the Little Rock Nine, what was, it was about segregation and integration. I guess that's the theme of the talk, but were there any modern day lessons that they were able to impart to you after so many years? I mean, it's been, 63 years, something like that?
Yeah, it's been quite a bit. And
60s.
Actually, let's see, my math's a little slow. I think it's a little closer to 70.
Yeah, it is
as we get to, because we're already
right.
2025.
I'm sorry, yeah.
So the gentleman that we met with is Dr. Terrence Roberts, and I guess he goes around the country and speaks an awful lot. He is an academic, and he takes every opportunity he can to really speak about not only what his experiences were as a high schooler and having to go through that, but he also spoke a lot about those lessons in his perspective and the importance of using your voice. And I think we do that here on our show. We, particularly on Rainmakers, as the Monday segment of The Morning Voice, we really give voice to community organizations and nonprofits, but also students and small business owners alike. in issues that are impacting their community. And Dr. Roberts did speak about that and was applauding our group, or he was just enthused by our group that was bringing so many different people from different walks of life, from different faiths. We had folks in there who were Christian, who were Jewish, who were Muslim, who some were Hispanic, some were Anglo, some were of many different cultures. So he really liked that there were lots of different perspectives coming in to understand more. And in his message, that's the most important part, is really doing the myth busting around real issues and getting down to where can we find that we can agree to take steps forward together, which doesn't mean that people agree on all the issues, but they agree on what steps we can take.
Yeah.
So solutions building, social impact, I think was top of my mind.
Well, this is incredible. I mean, I know very little about this. I think, you know, the one in Georgia, and I'm exposing my ignorance
here. Yeah, we've got Selma, and we've got lots of different.
But this is the they showed up. They showed up. That's what it's about in life, Lydia. It's just showing up. So they showed up. They wanted to. They were going to go to school. Arkansas had. It was in Little Rock Central High School in Arkansas.
Yep.
Their attempt to attend school was met with strong resistance, including Arkansas Governor Orval Faubus,
yes,
ordering the National Guard to prevent their entry,
yep,
and an angry mob. Of course, we always got to have an angry mob. That's the only way you can have a protest, is an angry mob. And then President Dwight Eisenhower eventually federalized the National Guard and sent U.S. Army troops to protect the students so they could attend school. And all the kids wanted to do was go to school and learn.
That's right. They wanted to go to school. They had the opportunity to go to school. It started with approximately 80 that got down to 40, that got down to 10, that then ended up just be 9 who pursued. And on that first day, the famous image of Elizabeth Eckford, or Lizzie, as they called her later, she was the sole young lady, 15 years old, in a white dress, walking all by herself because she was the only student that had not received a phone call to meet ahead of time and walk together in a group.
Is that right?
So she showed, and she showed up on time, but was all by herself. And the reason she didn't get the phone call is her phone was out of order that weekend. So it was, so there were a lot of little bits of history of things that happened and people who later became friends that were on opposite sides of this issue then. And later when we went to the Clinton Library, there were some remarks on the 40th anniversary of this occurrence, and President Clinton at that time, you know, made remarks, and there was a big anniversary tribute. So lots going on, and lots to reflect on as we think about things going on in our community here in Southern Arizona, in Arizona, in the Southwest, in our country, and I dare say around the world. What's exciting about today as we wrap up September, Matt, is I love Rainmaker's recap. I know sometimes we do little recaps now and then, but I think reflecting back on this whole year of this wonderful new show, I think it's wonderful, The Morning Voice. On this show, this segment, the Monday show, highlighting community organizations and nonprofits has been just a joy and a real learning experience, getting down into the nitty-gritty of the mission of some of these organizations. A lot of aha moments have come up. A lot of did-you-knows have come up. And then they swirl together. The more we're bringing more organizations on to talk about their mission, how they serve community, what they want to do, and their celebrations that they have, I'm finding that they are working with each other in a number of ways that we probably couldn't even lie out in a Venn diagram if we tried to.
Yeah.
And an example is that of that is going to happen today when we have our caller, one of our featured call-ins today, Mr. David White, who's going to be on with us this morning. In fact, in just a little bit, he is the 2025 car show chair for the Tucson Classic Car Show. And that is put on by the Rotary Club that's been going on since 2007. So we look forward to hearing about him. But the reason I talk about the intersection with other nonprofits is this car show raises money from the Rotary Club and from our community to give back to beneficiaries who are themselves other nonprofits and community orgs. And I think this year the top beneficiaries are Pima Community College Foundation of Opportunity, Center of Opportunity, as well as AmFi Foundation Echo, and the Job Path. And of course, we had Job Path on early on in our show, led by our good friend, Dr. Anna Greif, and much more to discuss.
So, and just if I can mention it quickly, I know you're getting ready to go to break. On Friday, I was privileged to attend, I had the privilege to attend the, it's called the Opportunity Cafe. It's a gospel rescue mission. And it's right across from the main hotel, what was the hotel, which is now the dormitory and, and campus.
And just down the street from our studios.
And just down the street from our studios, that's right. And so on Friday, they opened the Opportunity Cafe, and it's a place where folks can get restaurant skills, customer-facing customer service skills, and as part of their rehabilitation and employment training, they can kind of get back up on their feet and kind of reclaim their lives.
Isn't that wonderful?
And had a huge community turnout. They had samples of their various coffee drinks that they made. They had samples of the various goodies that they have in their pastry shelf or whatever you want to call it, treats. It's sweet and savory. And, you know,
and I love that. Sweet and savory.
I've been running down there, you know, in the mornings. They've been operating out of a trailer, which they will still keep the trailer to take to events. But I've been running over there every now and then ever since I found out about it. And they'll give you a good cup of coffee, a mocha or a latte or just a cup of coffee if you like. And they got a nice space to sit down. So, and the neighborhood doesn't have kind of a cafe, like a coffee house kind of place.
Right.
So
it's
this is really great.
Here.
So you can go get something yummy to drink and perk you back up a little caffeine. But you can also help some people kind of get job skills so they can kind of take that next step and be standing on their own 2 feet again with some dignity. And it was just a wonderful experience. And an author got up and spoke about his path to redemption. Lisa Chastain, our friend from Gospel Rescue Mission, got up and said a few words. Dana Cooper, who's been on The Morning Voice with Ted and Grant. It was really good. And again, it's just north of I-10 on Palo Verde here, just north of Irvington, I guess, a couple blocks.
Yeah.
And stop in. It's called the Opportunity Cafe. Get yourself a cup of coffee. And like I said, they've even got little kind of areas where you can sit with your computer and do some work or make, you know, take care of a phone call or two and then be on your way.
Just take a break and enjoy,
a real cozy place.
And enjoy the Tucson weather.
Yeah. So, and they even have a patio off to the side. So now that we're not 110 degrees, you know, you can
now that we're
outside,
only in the mid 90s,
enjoy some fresh air. So, and maybe have a little conversation with the nice folks that are preparing your coffee drink. It's really neat. So it was definitely, I'm glad we were invited. I'm glad I was able to take the time to get over there and see something really special.
How fabulous. Well, I think that's a great example of we probably are in front of more community orgs than we realize just in our daily comings and goings. And we hope that our callers will call in today and share their thoughts and their favorite nonprofits and community orgs. So more with that after we take our first break. You're listening to Rainmakers on The Morning Voice, KVOI The Voice. What happiness is to you? We are happy this morning. That song always makes me just snap my fingers and smile.
Monday does not have to be bad.
Monday does not have to be bad. That's right. And again, this is the final Monday of September. This year is flying by. September has flown by. It's been a fabulous month. And we are doing a bit of a Rainmakers recap today and thinking about a lot of the fabulous organizations that we've been able to speak with and learn more about and help promote on this show since our inception at the beginning of the year. And I'm excited because we do have a caller. We have Mr. David White.
Yeah, Dave White.
Wonderful. Mr. White, thank you so much for joining us this morning. For our listeners, I'm going to let them know that Dave White, you are the chair, the 2025 Tucson Classic Car Show chair. And this is the car show put on by Rotary Club. David, it's very nice to have you on. Thanks so much for calling in and taking time with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Lydia. This is a great opportunity just to talk to you and all your listeners.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think some of our listeners, I'm sure, are very familiar with this car show, and others may not be at all. Maybe we just start at the beginning and talk a little bit about exactly what this, and I believe, is it the 19th annual already?
That is correct.
Almost 20 years.
For 19 years.
That is
and
fabulous.
It is the largest car show and the best run car show in Southern Arizona. we gather about 430 classic cars. Unless it's something very special, it's limited to cars that are pre 1999.
Okay.
And we have some older cars, lots of older cars, and we have a couple of very special cars this year. A 1933 Auburn Salon Speedster, which is it's just a very special car, and there's only five of those left in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Only 14 of them made. And this is going to come to us from Visalia, California, and it's going to be beautiful. We also have a feature car from our own Tucson Auto Museum, which is a 1937, if I'm correct here, at the Accord. And it's a 812 Sportsman convertible coupe, which Accords are just an amazing car. So I think everybody should come out and just enjoy this. We typically get about 20 to 25,000 attendance to this show. And families come out, they bring their kids, they just, we see people in strollers. It's just a great event for the whole family.
Boy, it sure sounds like it. And I'm so excited that there's this collaboration with the Tucson Auto Museum. If I may remind some of our listeners, may remember that we actually had Dave from the Auto Museum on, oh gosh, I want to say in the summer perhaps, or the spring. And he came out and was talking about the new location and the many different offerings that the new space was allowing for, simply with more elbow room to begin with.
Oh, you bet.
But also in its location, being able to have more space to invite community in, to even have some of their own events at the meeting space, or maybe take use of the podcast studio that he has there, and all kinds of other things. Do you know, David, will you all be doing any podcasting out of the Auto Museum as a way of promoting this, or maybe that's something that we could all do together? That might be kind of fun.
Yes, we've been exploring several different opportunities with them, because we want to promote the, we want to honor the people that are helping us remember our history.
Yes.
Automobiles are such a part of American culture. And the Tucson Auto Museum, rolling through time down on South Park Avenue, These are such great institutions. Even the Franklin Museum,
mm-hmm.
My gosh, they're just such a great part of Tucson, and they help us remember and honor the creativity and the innovation that really has made America great.
Oh, I so agree. And I think you bring together with this annual car show, and you mentioned that it is a very family-friendly event. So you have all kind of generations of people who are enthusiasts, maybe even really formal enthusiasts, where they might be collectors themselves or somehow might be in the industry. But then you have folks who are newbies and might just want to be, enjoying the visuals of these gorgeous cars that they can look at and understand more about, and then to reflect on the industry itself, the aerodynamics of cars, the science that goes into car making, the beauty that goes into the artistic colors and things that reflect on certain eras. Certain colors were very popular at certain times, and a little bit of nostalgia there and sentimental review.
Well, that's absolutely true. And these car owners are so proud of their cars, and many of them have done the restoration work themselves. So just walking around and talking with them and asking them a few questions about how they came about this car and the work they put into it. It's an amazing how people have just invested so much of their heart and soul into restoring these older vehicles.
Yes, we have a kind of a fun little phrase that some of us use, and we call them carpreneurs, because
yeah,
they are really investing in their collect their collected item. I have to say, many years ago, I was a little bit of a car enthusiast, and my husband and I at the time collected, he was a big car collector, and then I kind of got into that for a few years. So we had a few classic cars ourselves, and I got the bug for a few years. So it was a lot of fun, and I can really see how generation to generation certainly this enthusiasm, as well as the actual cars themselves, the vehicles themselves, can really be passed on. And like I said, for newbies, for people who maybe have stayed away from it or maybe just don't understand it, they can come out and under our wonderful weather here in the Sonoran Desert, really be able to pick up the bug.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, for this show, the one of the cool things is that, we charge just a $10 entrance fee.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, is it's so affordable.
It includes a raffle stub to win a 2025 C8 Corvette. It's a beautiful red Corvette from O'Reilly Chevrolet, and it is just a fabulous prize, a first prize. And then we have five other incredible prizes that will be second, third, fourth, and fifth place. So it's very cool. We will raise we've raised $2.8 million so far with our car show, and we give every nickel of that away to
I see
worthy
that
projects in our community.
I see that, and I want to do a little bit deeper dive on the organizations that are going to be the beneficiaries, but we are going to go to a quick commercial break. Can you hang with us a little bit?
Oh, you bet. No problem.
Okay, let's pause for our next commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the Rotary Club's Tucson Classic Car Show coming up. Stay tuned. And we're back after that commercial break. You are listening to Rainmakers because it's Monday, and on Monday we talk about how the community is thriving with the help of community organizations, leaders, workforce, education, and other kinds of small business that just make Southern Arizona and our great state of Arizona a better place. I'm your host every Monday, Lydia Aranda of Rainmakers, and we are here as part of The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 The Voice. We've been speaking this morning about many different organizations and how they come together. And one that we are featuring this morning is the Rotary Club and their annual, this year it's the 19th annual, Tucson Classics Car Show. And with us online this morning is Mr. Dave White, who is the 2025 Car Show Chair. David, thank you so much for being with us this morning. You were letting us know a little bit about the featured cars and the fact that in this 19th year, this event continues to be one of the most affordable and family-friendly events that really spurs a lot of interaction and enthusiasm, not only about classic cars from way back when into some of the more recent decades, but also that just for a $10 entry fee, that folks also get thrown into a raffle. And the raffle this year is for a 2025 C8 Corvette or $40,000 or one of four other prizes. That's pretty exciting, all for just a $10 entry fee.
It's great. And anybody 17 and under, they are free with a paid entry. So bring your kids.
That's great. So you get two for one in that case.
Absolutely, or two for many.
Two for many, that's right.
Yeah.
I see. So long as a paying adult, if they had three children or five children or whoever, then all those folks, and for that to be 17 and younger is a pretty good deal.
It's a great deal.
And as you said, the whole point about this, the reason that Rotary Club of Tucson is doing this is because then the money raised goes back into local nonprofits. Tell us a little bit about the process of how nonprofits get involved in this or how they become beneficiaries. Are there applications that happen earlier in the year, or how does that go?
Exactly. I think it's really important to know that the Rotary Club of Tucson is just really focused on making a difference in the future of our community and
yes.
community building. So we try to focus on community development projects through nonprofit organizations in Tucson that are aimed at foundational kinds of things that that will result in long-term benefit to the beneficiaries of those programs. So we've invested a lot in literacy, for example.
Oh, wonderful.
Because, you know, that kids that learn how to read early on are so much more successful in life long term. So those are the kinds of things that we aim at. So what happens is that our members nominate potential beneficiaries of the car show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a committee who interviews every one of those. Then they pare that down to about 11 or 12, and then they go do site visits and actually interview and find out exactly what these folks are doing that's making a difference. So they want to see it. They want to see it hands on,
mm-hmm.
to choose the best possible ones. Then they pare those 12 down to five who come to our club and give an 8-minute presentation on what they do and the results that they produce in our community. And then our Rotary Club votes on the top three. And the first place recipient gets 50% of the proceeds from our car show.
Oh, wow.
And the other two split the remaining 50%. So they get 25% each.
That's just an amazing amount because that makes it different each year also, and it makes it exciting about getting the promotions out there and really encouraging people to come, because the more people who come, they are also investing in the future of those organizations and in the thrive of their own community.
That is absolutely correct. And all those funds stay right here in Tucson and Pima County.
That's great.
Let me mention, too, that the number one recipient becomes our primary recipient for 3 years.
Oh.
So they will get 50% of the proceeds for 3 years, and the other two rotate year to year. So that sort of spreads the wealth around and
it
tries
sure does.
To invest, a significant amount in our primary to get them launched. For example, we were able to give over $700,000 to Pima JTED when they were our primary beneficiary.
Because they got a chunk every year for 3 years, and then it just kept
exactly.
them going. And boy, isn't that just music to the ears of any of the benefiting or beneficiary organizations, especially in current times when a lot of funding has been pulled away from organizations, because many of these organizations were in the streamline of government funding, and of course that's being reconsidered in all kind of ways and being halted.
Absolutely, and hey, let's take ownership of these programs ourselves.
Good for you.
We don't need the federal government. let's get in it and make a difference ourselves. Let's take ownership of this instead of always saying, hey, let somebody else do it.
Exactly. We're stepping up to the plate and walking the talk, as they say. Well, I want to give some more attention to something that you said right before our break also. And I understand in my notes here that this event, in 19 years, this particular event alone, and of course Rotary does so much more and does so many other things that gives back to community, but this event alone has raised over $2.8 million since the first show in 2007. That's fabulous. That's a lot of money going back, coming from community and going right back into community. But I dare say that it's not only locals that are giving to this, because a car show like this really attracts people from all over. So certainly folks from outside of Pima County can take a nice drive, whether they're coming from Cochise County or up in Maricopa County, or even from our neighboring states, you know, taking a drive. Car shows are very attractive to so many people, and it's happening at such a beautiful time of the year. I am sure we get folks from New Mexico and Nevada and Colorado, maybe even people flying in.
Absolutely, that's very true. And it's a good time of year because it's late October, and it's about time for some of those snowbirds to to fly south.
That's right. That's right. If they hadn't come back.
No rest on the cars at this show.
That's right. No rest here. And if they hadn't quite come back to settle in, this is a great time to do it. Let's remind folks. So this car show happens every year, and this year it's happening on Saturday, October 18th. It's going to be out at the Gregory School, which is out on Craycroft. Lovely, lovely area. And runs from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Entry fee $10. And that not only gets people in, but if they're in adult and they have accompanying youth that are 17 years or younger, those folks get in free. And that ticket also goes into the raffle for a 2025 C8 Corvette or $40,000 or one of four other prizes that are continuing to be announced. So it's a lot of fun. The weather will be great. The prizes are fabulous. The exercise that one gets from walking around at this lovely event, of course, is benefit. And let's talk again about this year's top nonprofit beneficiaries. The top one, David, if I understand correctly, is Pima Community College's Foundation's Center of Opportunity. And this year, they will be receiving their third year donation. So they've been the top recipient for the last 2 years. And all of this is a result of proceeds from, of course, the Classic Car Show. And with this year's contribution, it seems like the anticipated total will be over $225,000 that will have gone to this particular state-of-the-art learning center on the grounds of the Center of Opportunity campus of Pima Community. You know, of course, those of us here who know there are many campuses across the Pima Community College system, and so the Center of Opportunity is really getting its share. That's so exciting.
That's correct. The Umberto Lopez Family Foundation, they were instrumental in creating the Center of Opportunity with the Gospel Rescue Mission here in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they do is they wanted to not just, you know, give something away. They wanted to create a pathway out of poverty for people.
Right.
And so this Center of Opportunity gives people these people the opportunity to find really good paying jobs and be equipped for them and gain a sustainable living wage long term.
That's right. Well, this is absolutely giving to that cause and so exciting. I guess the other two nonprofit beneficiaries for this year are the AmFi Foundation ECHO, which stands for Educational Community Home Outreach Program, and also JobPath, which does fabulous work in workforce development and keeping folks on track with their learning and their career and helping out when little troubles get in the way. They are often the bridge funder to make that a little bit smoother for their participants. And Dr. Anna Greif has been on our show in the past talking about how probably it's one of the best kept secrets in the community. And I'm so thrilled to know that they are receiving this support from Rotary Club.
Absolutely. You know, we have a lot of growth in the vocational training sector of, helping people get a leg up. And JobPath is there to help those students that are going through vocational training to find a good job that is sustainable. And on average, those folks that connect with JobPath are earning greater than $50,000 a year.
Isn't that
so
fabulous?
Their results they're just incredible results. They're great, like you said, one of the best kept secrets. And we want to put them up to the top and shout their praises.
We sure do. And I think all of this attention and all of the excitement around the car show is really going to do that. David White, 2025 chair of the Rotary Club's Tucson Classics Car Show. We're so excited to have had you on Rainmakers this morning. I hope you'll come back and visit with us again. I know that my counterpart, our Thursday host on The Morning Voice, Mr. Tom Moulton, is going to be speaking, I think, with you and your team and some of the other folks as well. And we're just so excited to do what we can here at The Morning Voice to help promote this wonderful event that is held locally and gives locally. You know, Barrett Jackson and so many other car shows are wonderful and famous, and they do a great job. But this car show that you have is held here locally, and the funds stay here locally, and that's so important these days for community, especially
yes, yes.
for our Southern Arizona folks.
Thank you, Lydia. And let me mention that you can buy tickets at the show or you can go onto our website, to the TucsonClassicsCarShow.com.
Okay.
And you can buy tickets online.
That's wonderful. I think that's good for people to know so they can get that all out of the way, have it in hand, and just show up and have a good time.
You bet.
Great. Well, thank you so much. We're going to go to another commercial break, and I really appreciate that we've had you on this morning. And I hope you'll come back and see us in person soon.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Stay tuned. We will be back after this commercial break to Rainmakers KVOI. And we are back here after that wonderful break full of news and wonderful music with it by the Spinners. You know, Matt, I got to say, I love that song. It's such groovy tunes, such
a nice,
beautiful voice, and yet the lyrics are sad.
It's awful. It's just awful.
The lyrics are sad. They're talking about being left alone, and it's a shame being ignored. But
like,
the song is great.
Yeah.
It just gets heated.
So
time.
having the Rotary Club on, every time my dad was a Rotarian, my wife's dad was a Rotarian. We lots of friends who were Tom Moulton.
Yes.
Are you?
I am almost one.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, there you go. That's close enough for me.
Close enough.
I love the Rotary four-way test. And so we got a couple minutes here. Can we go through it? This is, I mean, you don't have to be a Rotarian. This is just common sense.
Let's
I just love this.
Yes.
Of all the things we think, say, and do. So not even the stuff that comes out of our mouth, but the stuff we're kind of, you know, cogitating on here.
Right.
Is it the number one? It's so simple. Is it the truth?
Is it the truth? Is it factual?
Yeah. And sometimes you have to dig a little bit to figure out if it's the truth or a rumor or an AI bot on Facebook or whatever.
That's right.
So if it sounds too good to be
or
true.
Or worse, a trolled something.
Yes. Ask a few questions. Number two, is it fair to all concerned? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, it could be true, but is it really, you know, benefiting anybody by, you know, is it fair?
Right. Is it fair to be speaking about whatever it is?
Right. Number three. Will it build goodwill and better friendships?
What a wonderful question to ask about anything.
Right.
Is where's this headed? Is this going to be destructive or is this going to be productive?
Right.
And does it help bring more folks together, whatever that means?
Right. So, like, if something's out there, does it pass a certain threshold that it needs to be talked about? Or can we just... You know,
or can we just consider it and say, and move on to something else?
And the fourth one is, will it be beneficial to all concerned?
And again, and that's different than is it fair?
Right.
Those are two. Some folks might think that's nuanced, but those really are different questions and different considerations. So those are really fantastic filters to be thinking about anything, and probably just a really good. Filter is the way. Framework might be another. When any of us are thinking about what we are going to be speaking to, what crowd are we entering? Are we in the workplace? Even at home and with friends and loved ones who we feel a little more free with, I think it's just a great way to think. It kind of goes to that old golden rule about, you know, if you can't say anything nice, hold your tongue for a minute.
Right.
You know, think of a new way to say it.
I think society would be, I mean, if you just hang your hat on one rule, the golden rule, to do unto others as they, you know.
As you'd want them to do unto you.
So,
exactly.
But the beneficial to all concerned, I mean, I always think of, okay, well, if you've got to deliver criticism, you can be critical.
Right.
But there's also
you can have a critique.
But there's also constructive criticism.
That's right.
And that can help the receiver as well as you, right?
Sure.
So there's always ways to deliver a message that are thoughtful. Sometimes you do need to be direct, but if you can deliver a message that is if you can deliver constructive criticism in the workplace, in a business situation or whatever, sometimes that results in a better, you can turn around a behavior or whatever it can help.
You can get to a better outcome wherever that pathway was that you were headed.
I always liked that. Ever since I was a teenager, saw that on, you know, my dad's desk, and I always thought that was a neat thing. And every time we talk Rotary, I always think of their four-way test. It's good guidelines for their members and good guidelines for all of us.
It sure is. Communication is so key, and one of the biggest rules in communication is that it really doesn't matter what the sender is sending, it's how does the receiver receive it, and that ends up being sort of the truth of the moment, the truth of the message, and
the art of communication.
The art of communication. You have to think of really what you're hoping will be received. Looks like we are wrapping up our first hour here, Matt. Again, just like the whole month and year, it has flown by, and it was a lot of great information that I want to keep on talking about as we go into our second hour. So, listeners, if you have had some of your coffee or juice or hot chocolate or soda or whatever it is that's your favorite morning beverage, and you're feeling a little bit alive with what we're talking about, we'd love to hear from you. We want to know some of your favorite nonprofit or community orgs, what they are, what they've meant to you, why you think they're fabulous, or what we should know about them. Feel free to give us a call. We're at 520-790-2040, and we'll hear from you. Stay tuned as we take this next break. You're listening to Rainmakers, the Morning Voice on KVOI 1030, The Voice. Well, we are back. And it is already the second hour of this show on Monday, September 29th, which is the final Monday of September. And we are doing a Rainmakers recap today about many of the things, many of the organizations, many of the people and purposes that we have been covering on Rainmakers since our inception at the beginning of 2025. Matt Neely, it has been, first of all, it was an exciting first hour, and so excited to have David White, the 2025 chair of the Rotary Club's Tucson Classics Car Show, which is in its 19th year and is going to be happening here in Tucson on Saturday, October 18th. So exciting. And of course, the Rotary Club, as we were talking about, really does great things all around, not only in helping people come together, really improve their public speaking skills, talk about, you talked about the four rules, the four
the
filters.
The four-way test. The famous Rotary four-way test.
Yes, to see if the topics or the conversation are going to be worthwhile. And that's not to say that things can't be controversial. It just means making sure that they're factual, that they're fair, that they are helping the people involved. Build goodwill, better friendships, and really leave everybody off in a better place.
Yeah.
So those are great rules to live by. And I think David sounded just so enthused about the organization, the event, and how it helps other organizations. We started this morning, I was reflecting a bit on a trip that I made over the weekend. I was part of a leaders summit, and political coalitions is what they called, but politics, kind of using that in a loose way, because it was community politics as well as a little bit of talk about policy and other kinds of public politics. And it was held in Little Rock, Arkansas, so there was a lot of history that we were being exposed to, a lot of from whence we've come as a country, and looking at things like touring the famed Central High School in Little Rock, stemming back from September 1957, and the famous Little Rock Nine, who were the first African-American students, teenagers, who were going into what had previously been an all-white school. And actually got to speak with Dr. Terrence Roberts, who was a 15-year-old or 16-year-old at that time, and attended that school. So it was...
He was one of the nine.
He was one of the nine.
What an amazing opportunity to be able to speak with history, a living history at
living
that point.
Living history.
What a neat thing.
And he is so energetic for his age, and he goes out and about and speaks at many organizations, and he was really interacting with our group. Our entire summit was about 85 people, with another 25 or so who were the various speakers and hosts. But there were about 45 of us in the group that went on the tour that were there early enough in the agenda to be able to do that. And he was really giving his perspective on lessons learned about integration, about being your own advocate, about considering the views of others, much like what we just talked about with the Rotary Test of Four.
Indeed.
And but being true to oneself and being true to what the issues are, and being able to have those civil discourse in a time when emotions are high about a lot of issues. So it was just great to hear him and be able to take a couple pictures with him. And
oh my gosh, what a great opportunity!
It really was.
I mean, thrill maybe is not the word, but it's just a great opportunity to meet
yes.
with somebody that was involved in one of those historical intersections that, you know, we look back on. Last night, my wife and I went to the University of Arizona Gallagher Theater, the second installment in Herb Stratford's Film Fest Tucson.
Oh.
And the film was called Capturing Kennedy.
Well, there you go.
And it was about Jacques, and what was his last name? Jacques Lowe. I'm sorry. I'm soon I forget. Jacques Lowe. And a young, relatively unknown senator by the name of John F. Kennedy enlisted. His dad, Joe Kennedy, had seen some of Lowe's work. He'd shot some pictures of Bobby. Mm-hmm. And so he said, hey, would you come up and shoot some pictures of my son? So he comes up to Hyannis and takes a few pictures. And Kennedy's having a bad day, but, you know, he realizes what his dad was doing. So he goes to the photographer and say, hey, you know, I wasn't expecting to do this. I don't have very much time off these days. I was planning to go out boating. So sorry we got off on a bad start, but thanks for coming up and taking some pictures. And this day led to a lifelong relationship between he and JFK.
Wow.
So he continued as Kennedy's kind of personal photographer throughout the presidential campaign, through the presidency, unfortunately, you know, through the assassination.
Mm-hmm.
But so the story is of their relationship. The story is on multiple levels. First of all, the story is of him taking pictures of Kennedy and how the campaign evolved from Kennedy going to places like Oregon and having nobody come into his events
mm-hmm.
to these huge throngs, right?
Where people were just enthusiastic and involved.
The whole Camelot thing, right?
Yeah.
And the obstacles he had to overcome being young, being Catholic, you know, people say, well, he's not old enough. He doesn't have any experience. You know, you had LBJ out there just really trashing him at every turn saying,
sure.
What's this kid know, right? So that's one story arc.
Uh-huh.
Another story arc is Jacques Lowe, who grew up, was a kid during World War II, a Jewish kid in World War II and had to hide in a basement with his mother
for two years.
Another story arc was a guy who served in, I believe it was the Korean War, and he came back and he was overseas when Kennedy was shot. So it was not in the Korean War. But he was overseas in the Navy, and this guy that ended up taking, you know, he talks about how the ship made the announcement that Kennedy had been shot. They were out at sea.
Yeah, can you imagine? All the military, everyone that was deployed getting that news.
Right. So he was fascinated through when he got out of the service with Kennedy memorabilia. And over many years, he collected a lot of Kennedy memorabilia.
Mm.
Well, this led him to who took that picture? Who took this iconic picture of, that's how he got hooked up with Jacques, right? So
interesting.
So he develops this, he starts collecting Jacques Lowe's prints of Kennedy, so signed prints. He develops a relationship with him. Along the way, he takes a video camera and they meet for a couple of days and he takes video of him.
So he gets the story live from the source and
so
the reflections.
He documented, right?
Wow.
He documented stories behind the pictures because he was so fascinated with it. 2001, two things happened. One, Jacques Lowe passed away mid-2001.
Okay.
Two, 9-1-1 happens.
9-11.
The significance of that story is Jacques Lowe had put for safekeeping all of his negatives in the vault at the Chase Bank in the basement of the World Trade Center.
Oh my
goodness.
Gone.
All of his negatives of these iconic photographs, right? So
how lucky that he had the video.
And a lot of original
copies.
A lot of original prints.
Yeah, prints. Right?
Prints.
But none of the...
So this guy saved a lot of Jacques Lowe's work that was able to be used... And he made some books out of it, and so
how
it's a
fabulous,
fantastic,
oh, I
fantastic
bet.
Documentary. So it's the history of Kennedy and his rise from senator to mm-hmm. president, the political dynamics of the time, the relationships that were built because somebody had an interest in collecting Kennedy memorabilia and
sure.
that relationship. Fantastic movie. It's going to come out for general release. So I think this was the last film festival screening. Of all of them that they've done.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
It comes out for release where you can rent or buy it online. You can rent a viewing or buy it online in December. So it's called Capturing Kennedy.
Capturing Kennedy.
Wonderful story.
Matt Neely, that is a wonderful story. And it kind of weaves together a little bit. You know, we were talking about Little Rock in the late 50s. And things that actually had, you know, the supposed integration or desegregation had started 1955-ish.
Sure.
And still by 1957 wasn't going on. So there was that. And it builds up into, of course, what you're talking about of the Kennedy era.
Right.
And then we had 1964 civil rights, mm-hmm. and ongoing things. Last evening, one of the shows that I was watching, excuse me, is a bit of a reflection documentary on John F. Kennedy Jr. Mm. and what drove him in his life and the things he was interested in doing as a young man and his trials and tribulations of launching his magazine, the George magazine, mm-hmm. that was meant to be a political magazine that sort of talked about the celebrity of politics and how that was at the time seeming like such a new kind of a newfangled, you know, what do you mean? And I really agree with some of the folks that were speaking on the in the show that he really had his finger on the pulse of seeing where things were going, and of course where magazines were changing. Of course, this was before social media as we know it now, and of course his untimely young death along with his wife and sister-in-law. So it makes you think about things that could have been. And but also things that we learned. So I can hardly wait to see that. Thanks for sharing that.
Really good. And just as a little teaser, his picture, his iconic picture, which was on Kennedy posters everywhere, mm-hmm. was pretty much the model for Kennedy's face on the half dollar.
Oh,
so that.
That led to that.
Yeah.
So see, one thing leads to another.
Just incredible. Just an incredible story. And it's just, you know, I'm not doing justice to it.
I think you
recap,
are, though.
But Herb Stafford does a great job on Film Fest Tucson. And he's instead of doing one weekend in mid-October like he had been doing for the last several years, mm-hmm. He's stretching it out. He partnered with University of Arizona Arts. I don't know if they call it Arizona Arts or Art Arizona or something. Anyway, he's partnering with them. They're showing him at the gallery, the Gallagher Theater on campus at the U of A, and he's stretching it out over the course of a year. So it's every few weeks.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So you don't have to cram through a bunch of movies.
You don't have to cram through, and a lot of people all trying to do it
well,
right 30, at once.
He's got 20 or 30 movies,
yeah.
and you've got maybe five or six time slots where you can see them. And so
more
by
people get to see them and enjoy
you're
them.
You're miss some of them. You have to kind of pick which ones you want to see the most.
Yes, but it gives many more options.
And he's just got a great sense of finding these great stories. He watches he's a voracious consumer of independent films, documentaries, all this stuff, and it's he always picks these great stories. So
that's wonderful.
Plug there for Herb and Film Fest Tucson.
Gosh, thanks for sharing that. And of course, all those things are community organizations, community activities that really spur on other things. So we appreciate that. Today, we are reflecting on Rainmakers Recap, and we are having some live conversations as well as just some reflections of organizations that we have had on our show that have come and done some deep dives with conversation. I think we're getting ready for our commercial break here. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers. And if you're listening, feel free to call in 520-790-2040. We want to hear from you and your favorite community orgs and nonprofits. Stay tuned. A little what you see is what you get. And that's what we're doing right here
in
our studio, Matt.
We learned a little bit about Lydia today. I had no idea you were into the car show thing, too.
Yes,
that was
and
fast.
You know, I didn't even mention what my car was.
No, I was.
It was a 1962 Chevy Impala Supersport Ragtop.
Goodness.
All original. Honduran maroon, black leather seats and ragtop, and it was fabulous. It was just fabulous. And we entered it in a few car shows sprinkling around the general Phoenix
yeah.
area. They were a little bit more local car shows, but it won some prizes.
All right.
And then he already had a 1954 Chevy. He liked the Bel Airs and a couple of 1950s Chevy trucks. So we had a handful there. And it was nice. We liked it. It was kind of fun, and I learned a lot. And I really watched a lot of, one of the shows that we entered it into was a lowrider car show, because it was in the OG section, the original, not touched, not dropped, not chopped, you know, just everything sure. pristine. And at the time, there were fewer of those because the shows were usually with people, you know, putting all the hydraulics sure. and things like that on it. So it was a ton of fun. Wow. And and we entered it under my name. And so people who judge or go along, they I would hear these little comments. They'd be like, oh, who's got it? Oh, some chick owns it. You know, like it's a girl that owns it. You know, they weren't used to seeing usually.
Way to break through the clutter, Lydia.
There
I like
you
it.
Go. So that chick with the rag top.
It's great.
It was lots of fun. You know, I'm having so much fun thinking about the intersectionality of a lot of the nonprofits in the community and what that spurs on with engagement. And I want to reflect a little bit on the type of organizations that we have really covered this whole time of the Morning Voice and the Rainmaker Show. Since the beginning of the year, we've had so many guests come on. And just the highlights, really off the top of my head, I'm not looking at a printed list or anything like that, but we've had fabulous organizations like Compass Affordable Housing have come on several times and even have co-hosted with our very first show when we really spoke not so much about organizations, but about volunteering. And that was a really nice kickoff. We've had Job Path. We have had the Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona. We've had SVP, which is Social Venture Partners of Tucson, Treasures for Teachers Tucson, a really unique organization that makes supplies available
yeah.
for teachers or retired teachers and substitute teachers, which sometimes that can be a real key
yeah.
to substitutes going into these classrooms and not always knowing what they're going to go into. Big Brothers Big Sisters was on recently. We've had Intermountain Behavioral Health and Intermountain Centers for Human Development. And I'm going to come back to them in a minute because they're having an exciting concert and we might be able to give away a few tickets there, Matt. So stay tuned for that in just a moment. Others, Tucson Spotlight, which is a newer digital newspaper and also a nonprofit. Arizona Community Foundation, particularly the Southern and Southeast Arizona region. Children's Action Alliance, which is a fabulous organization advocating for children and families and caregivers. We've had Chiricahua Community Health Centers Foundation. We've had Arizona Friends of Foster Children, another yep. great statewide agency focused on children. The Tucson Auto Museum, as we mentioned earlier with our conversation with David White, we had Dave Johnson come on. He is the executive director, and he talked a lot about the fact that they had just landed in their newer, larger space way out in the east side of town.
Yep.
And we've had, let's see, who else am I forgetting here? We also had recently Novle, and Novle is a multicultural marketing and public actions community activator agency that's headquartered in Tucson, but again, is statewide and works with a lot of for-profit and nonprofit companies. Let's go back to it, and they all have fabulous things to say. They all speak a lot. We've had AARP when we were celebrating this 90th year of Social Security. AARP is, of course, our national and local mm-hmm. Organization that really helps step it up for our seniors and all the great work that they do, but really celebrating that 90 years, which last week was the official 90th birthday of Social Security.
Sure.
So with AARP, one of the people that was here,
will it make it to 100?
Yeah, let's hope. We're hoping. We got a lot of good information that day from Jim Murphy, who is, of course, a retired city official, a retired county administrator, you know, just has served in so many capacities of appointed and elected offices, and now in his retirement, among other things. I know he's a Rotarian, mm-hmm. and yeah. even in addition to that, he's one of the leads for AARP's Southern Arizona Volunteer Corps. So he does not sit still, and he comes with a lot of wonderful information. So I'm going to circle back to Intermountain Behavioral Health. We had Roy Sparks on back. We also had he as well as Larry Starks, Roy Sparks and Larry Starks were both on because they were two of the honorees that did their pitch for the Fast Pitch with SVP, Social Venture Partners. And I had them on to talk about their experience doing that Fast Pitch and raising money for their organizations. Intermountain right now is, or coming up this weekend, is going to be part of an interesting concert at Rialto that is together with iHeartMedia, and it's a yacht rock concert. Mm. So anyone who's familiar with Yacht Rock Radio and you mm-hmm. know, kind of that channel of groovy tunes and kind of mellow, summery tunes of all kinds of genres, they are having a concert there, and Royce has asked me to give a little help in giving away maybe a couple dozen, about a dozen tickets for free. Oh. So let's let our listeners know that, like, let's say between now and Wednesday, if they want to call in, but hopefully on this show, and let us know how to get in touch with them, we will find a way to get those tickets to them, but while supplies last, so they got to do it quickly.
Okay, I'll take numbers and give them to you. Is that where
that sounds great. And let me tell you a little bit more about the concert. The concert is this Saturday, October 4th at the Rialto Theater downtown. I'm looking for a time. I don't quite have it here right in front of me. Let's see, it's for all ages. Doors open at 6 o'clock, and the show actually starts at 7, and it's called Intermountain's Tucson Yacht Rock Music Festival Catalina Wine Mixer at Rialto Theater. Mm-hmm. So if you want to learn more, and if you might think that you might want a ticket or two, let us know here. Call into Rainmakers here at KVOI The Voice, and I'll see if there's supplies left to be able to give those away. My numbers here say that I have 12, so hopefully we can spread those out to a few different callers, let's say 2 to 4 each.
All right. Well, if you want, give us a call, 790-2040. What's the name of it again? The Yacht Rock?
The Intermountain for Intermountain Health at Tucson Yacht Rock Music Festival at the Rialto Theater on Saturday, October 4th in the evening.
Okay. This coming Saturday.
Yep.
And there's not even going to be a game. The football game will be over, so you can go to the football game.
So you can.
And then you can go out and get your yacht rock.
Get your yacht rock on.
Yeah.
Get your yacht on.
Okay, so 790-2040 if you'd like tickets to. It's coming up this Saturday evening at the Rialto Theater, Yacht Rock show benefiting Intermountain Center.
Yes, I think that's going to be fabulous. And thank you, Royce, for reaching out to me and seeing what we could do to help you there. And I know that they also, a lot of people have already bought their tickets, so this was just kind of a little quick gimme. If folks are looking to buy more tickets, or if they're not able to get these free tickets, I think tickets start at about $37 for the evening. So it's
a good deal if you get
a good deal.
Free pair,
it's a really good deal. And you get to learn a little bit more about both things, about iHeartMedia, about Yacht Rock, and about the wonderful work that folks do at Intermountain. Other organizations that have come to see us as recently as last week, we had Beacon Group also. We had Mitch Esker talking about the wonderful work that happens at the Beacon Group for career building, career pathing, especially for folks with disabilities. We've had ARC of Tempe calling in and letting us know the kind of advocacy that goes on for folks with disabilities, not only in their daily lives, but in their work lives as well. So great organizations that make other things happen. And even with the example you gave of the Opportunity Cafe, Matt, that's Gospel Rescue Mission, but they are also helping people create their own path and their
Indeed.
Own workforce and
Indeed.
Build their own skills.
Give them some workforce skills, give them some customer-facing skills.
Mm-hmm.
Let people get their dignity, get back up on their feet, and walk the path that they want to walk. So.
That's right. And then we've got other collaborators like Tucson Insider's Guide, which probably has a lot more information about a lot of the kind of things we talk about. So let's continue this. I think we're just about at our next commercial break.
The bus is pulling up, Lydia. It's going to take us through the news and some words from our sponsors.
That's right. Well, stay tuned because we've got some callers coming in. Right after the break, you're listening to Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. Here's the bus, that double Dutch bus. Oh, yeah. Rainmakers are here with you today. Here in September, KVOI, 10:30, The Voice. I may not win a prize, but A for effort.
Well, you worked in the branding. I got to hand it to you on that one.
That's what it's all about. Love, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
We did chase the clouds away, though.
Yeah, we've been chasing the clouds away, although, gosh, you know, in all seriousness, as much as we talk about loving the rain and needing it in the Sonoran Desert, there are so many dangers when the rain comes all of a sudden.
All
we
once.
Have those floods. It is tough terrain. And our hearts, of course, go out to all of those who are suffering the aftermath of that. So we hope that people remain safe. And those driver laws, not that this applied there, but so many other times we do get folks who are unfamiliar with the power of the water and think they can drive through flooded streets, especially here in Tucson. We always need to make sure that folks are paying attention to the warnings.
I did see a headline, although I didn't read the story, but I mean, once I saw the headline, I got enough of the gist.
Mm-hmm.
But the Waymo cars, they can navigate a lot of things, but they don't know that they're driving on a road that's going through a raging wash, right?
Isn't that interesting? I haven't thought about a ton of runoff
from a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
So I think it was in Phoenix. They had a bad thunderstorm last mm-hmm. weekend, and they
I think
said
Friday that, and Saturday night.
They said
I heard
Waymo
about.
Stopped running because one of its cars went in. It's not funny. Hopefully everybody's okay, but
wow.
One of its cars drove into a roadway.
Whoops.
That had a wash
coming through.
Yeah, a flooded wash going through it that
did not end
well for the car. So
hopefully it was not only unmanned, but also unpassengered.
For the software programmers to look out for. And
New things to think about.
Okay, so yeah, we know.
So avalanches, floods, and we need to be careful with that.
You need to start putting sonar on those things to see how deep the water is or something.
Isn't that a good idea?
Buoys.
There's STEM at its finest.
Right. So, okay,
budding
mathematicians, there's your word problem.
A Waymo crosses a creek
after 20 minutes worth of rain upstream at 2 inches per hour.
Yeah.
How safe is it to cross?
There's your essay question for the day.
Show your work.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because we think about a lot of these technologies. Oops, I'm getting tangled up in my cord here. We think about a lot of these technologies, the businesses that come out of it, the way that in so many ways, all of this stuff has really helped improve the economy of our state and industries and you know, other states as well. But we have to also think back and reflect on what other kinds of considerations do we need to have and what's happening with the different industries and such today. I want to do a plug for another statewide nonprofit. Happens to be a chamber. It's the Arizona Hispanic Chamber, which has been around for many, 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 many decades.
Formerly the Tucson Hispanic. They rebranded not too long ago.
Yes, right? They are the Southern Arizona Hispanic Chamber. We're glad for that. I remember being part of the first talking with the board members of that day to say these really need to consolidate and be more of a regional. Well, the statewide, one of the programs that the Arizona Hispanic Chamber has been putting on for almost 30 years is called Datos. Datos is a Spanish word for details, for statistics. And they started this almost 30 years ago to speak about the state of Arizona's Hispanic market. So the economic power, the type of industries being influenced, the kind of small businesses that are being put in place, the type of education and training that need to go into those kinds of things, and what is the overall impact on our state, and by that, what's the overall impact, you know, in other economies that we interact with. So tomorrow is the 29th annual Datos up in Phoenix, and it pulls folks from all over the state. And it is the most comprehensive compilation of research on the impact of Hispanics on the Arizona marketplace. The report is always unveiled at the Datos breakfast, which always brings nearly 1,500 of the state's most influential business and community leaders. And of course, AZHCC, as it's known, has partnered with Vitalist Health Foundation to provide a new lens for Datos in the recent years and be able to speak about the relation to social determinants of public health, including but not limited to education, economic opportunity, and healthcare. And so there's a lot going on that happens, and that'll be tomorrow up in Phoenix at, I believe, the the location just left me. I will get the location and say it again. I can see it in my head, and the Heritage Center, I think is what it's called downtown. I'll get the right location in case folks want to go to that, because I know there's still a few seats. I know we have a caller calling in right now, and we have Mr. Sathar Esteban, who's going to be speaking with us a little bit, I think, about his some of his favorite community organizations. So thank you for calling in.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. And by the way, I believe that Symphony Hall there in Phoenix, I believe, for Datos, with Ms. Monica Villalobos, the new chair there.
Thank you. Yes, Monica has been the CEO now for a number of years and has really spearheaded, even before she was CEO, had many years at the Chamber. Thank you for giving that plug. Monica was really leading all the research for that for a number of years before she ascended into the role of CEO. And she also involves students from all around the state who get to, who may be at ASU or other of our universities and community colleges, and have an opportunity to intern and be part of this research. So thanks for that plug. So what do you think about community organizations? What are some that are at the top of your mind today?
Excellent. Thank you. And just before I begin, I'd like to thank you for the Morning Voice, and what a wonderful show. I do have to ask a question, as lovely as your voice is. I don't ever hear Matt singing. I don't know if that's a mute feature on the radio system or how that
listeners.
Works. Oh, got it.
That's my service to the listeners of the Morning Voice.
That's your service to the listeners.
Community service at its finest, speaking of nonprofits. Well, that's excellent. So, you know, these nonprofits, I got to tell you, they're really some of the best ones here in Southern Arizona.
Yes,
especially as it relates to supporting businesses, et cetera. But you know, it's not always all good news. For example, the Fourth Avenue Merchants Coalition there, and some of the small businesses there in downtown near Main Gate at the U of A. It's amazing that there's a 20% drop this year in attendance at the U of A, which is, you know, just thousands and thousands less people, unfortunately. So some of the nonprofits that I really like are the ones that support bringing more folks to Southern Arizona.
I think you really hit on a great point there, actually multiple points. First of all, in case our listeners weren't really catching on to that, what you're saying is the U of A this year is experiencing a drop in student enrollment, but to the tune of about 20,000, if I understand correctly, which is quite a lot fewer students. And that definitely has an impact on the local economy, because all of those small businesses, shops, restaurants, bookstores, clothing, and other kinds of things that are right there situated near the University of Arizona campus, but also out in other neighborhoods. Downtown, I think, is going to feel the pinch as well, but certainly for our famous Fourth Avenue, a lot fewer patrons. And with that, then there's less income, and it really has a rolling effect. I think Tucson Spotlight, we talked about them as a nonprofit and a digital newspaper, if you will, digital and local, and they are going to be covering the topic.
Yeah, just a great publication. They really cover a lot of great community events. Mm-hmm. I know Angelina over there and the folks that run that.
Sure, Caitlin Schmidt has been really on our show in the past.
Oh, okay, excellent. Yeah, and the stuff they've done with Borderlands Theater, and I know there's some new stuff coming up for Glow Up for Moms and some other programs. But at the end of the day, you know, speaking of statistics and Datos, I know that you were involved with the Datos there in Southern Arizona, but it's just all in alignment with statistics and keeping our eye on you know, the bigger picture. I know Sun Corridor and some of these other four business nonprofits, et cetera, are mm-hmm. doing their best. I know the new U of A president is doing his best. To his credit, he's helped eliminate that massive debt that was going on with the university budget.
Sure.
But of course, you know, you can't help but to keep the background economy in the picture regarding, you know, prices of groceries and all of the difficulties that families are having now that Medicaid has been transitioned to include fewer folks. You know, some of the other, whether you're for tariffs or against tariffs, at the end of the day, you see what gas prices are doing, some of these other issues. So
yeah, things
nice
are getting more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like AZHCC that's doing some of these statistical data deep dives to know really what's going on, because to tell you the truth, it's just confusing out there to understand the economy.
Well, I appreciate you bringing all that up because it is very intertwined. And that was kind of our Rainmaker recap when we were going over the myriad of nonprofits and other community advocate groups and community organizations that have been on our show. The whole point is for them to be able to more clearly talk about what they do, how they're intervening real time, not just historically or not just generally in their mission, but what pivots they are making real time to really accommodate for a lot of this. And I think you bring up a good point that nonprofits are going to play an even stronger role, perhaps, in helping to support small business. There are a lot of great groups. We've also had Proper Shops here on our show. They are a for-profit organization, but they focus on making space available for retailers at a much more affordable rate without long leases, but rather on a month-to-month basis, and not having an overwhelming need for deposits and things like that, so that people can get into the business of doing their business. And maybe some solutions like that might start to make a little sense over in Fourth Avenue. So we're going to get ready. We have to take a commercial break right now so that we keep our lights on. But thank you for bringing
up
and for calling in
and
making
and
the plug.
Way, I look forward to attending the next event. I know the last one was at Caruso's. Italian, and I hope you'll let us know where to go for the next one.
Yes, another eat and greet. Thank you so much for calling in. Have a wonderful Monday. Little Daz Band going on there with I'll Be Good to You as we come back for our last segment of the final Monday morning, September 29th, here on Rainmakers, the Monday segment of The Morning Voice. And it's been an exciting time. We've had some call-ins. We've had some great interviews. We've had some great discussion
about
community.
And you getting to meet one of them.
Yes,
really
Dr. Terrence Roberts, one of the original famous Little Rock Nine of Little Rock Central High School, September 1957. And he's still out spreading the word and talking about civil discourse and standing up even when issues don't all come together. And also, we talked a little bit about presidential libraries. I pulled out a little prop for anybody who's actually watching. I'm going to hold it up here. One of the things that I bought is a presidential library's coloring book, and I did that for some of my cousins' little kids who are just starting to get excited and learn about these things. They're real young. They're not even three yet. So, but, you know, coloring is coloring. It's going to be a fun way to learn about
that
the many
really
disparate
cool.
presidential libraries. So we were talking about your cousin who likes to tour them, and so here are all the pictures here of those
I got to get one of those, maybe, Ray. I don't know if he can stay within the lines when he color. I don't know what his coloring game is.
Well, they're kind of big there, so, you know.
Yeah.
People can maybe color with a coloring pencil instead of a fat crayon.
That was for you, Ray.
That might be a good one. We also talked about some upcoming events. The Tucson Classics Car Show is going to be happening in mid-October, Saturday, October 18th. But sooner than that, we've got tomorrow, the statewide Arizona Hispanic Chamber is doing their statewide Datos, D-A-T-O-S, Datos stands for details, for statistics, for information. And Datos is called the State of Arizona's Hispanic Market. So lots of aspects about market, industry, small business education, social determinants of health, and all the impact that that has for our state to thrive. And that's happening tomorrow, September 30th, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. in Phoenix at Symphony Hall. And tickets are still available. So please go online to azhcc.com, I believe, to find out more. Thank you, Monica Villalobos. And also this Saturday, October 4th, in the evening here in downtown Tucson at Rialto Theater, Intermountain is going to be the beneficiary together with a concert being put on by iHeart Media called the Tucson Yacht Rock Concert. And I think there's a little wine festival going on alongside that. So give us a call here at Rainmakers at The Morning Voice, 520-790-2040. And we may have a few tickets left in case you're interested. Otherwise, you can find out more at Rialto Theater or at Intermountain about buying some tickets. So much going on in our community, Matt. And I love that we get to give a little bit of attention and voice to it every Monday
Absolutely.
Morning.
Absolutely. It's a good way to start off our week, isn't it?
It sure is. We've had some fabulous organizations on. We've got so many more already scheduled for the rest of the year. I know that next Monday, please stay tuned because we're going to have some fabulous guests in studio. One is going to be Charlie Buchanan, who's our local CEO of Habitat for Humanity Tucson in Southern Arizona. And he's going to be talking about World... World Habitat Day is what it's called. And it actually, it is that day. So that'll be fun. And he'll be with us at our 7 a.m. hour. And our second hour, we're going to have Lorenzo Sierra, who is a former, he actually grew up in Tucson. So he's a local Tucsonan who's gone on to do things statewide and also up in the valley where he currently lives. He's been an elected official. He's been in corporate America. He's certainly very engaged in nonprofits, but he is also an author. So we're going to be talking about his new book called Fight Like Hell and many, many more things happening on The Morning Voice. We are here every single morning, 7 to 9, 5 different hosts, 5 different perspectives, lots of great information about community. And Matt Neely, you're keeping us honest and keeping us rolling with some good tunes behind the glass. Thank you for all you do.
Good show today, Lydia.
We've had a lot of fun. Let's take us out of September in a happy way. Everybody have a great week, and please stay tuned. Coming up next is Kathleen Wynn and her perspective, because women just look at things differently.
Ah, you remember that, yes.